Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, along with our special guest from SaturdayTradition.com, a site dedicated to the Big Ten, college football writer Dustin Schutte. Dustin, welcome to the show. You have got to be absolutely excited. We've got football in a couple weeks.
We have football. We've got a full 12-game schedule ahead of us. This is such a drastic change from what we had to go through a season ago. I could not be more excited. We had a full spring practice, and now we're diving into fall camp, and we got media days behind us, and I'm just so excited. Later this month, Jim, we have Big Ten football with that Nebraska-Illinois game week zero. I could not be more excited.
That is absolutely fantastic. And who knows, one of these years, Dustin, we're going to get you up here for a whiteout. We're going to make that happen.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list for sure. I've even got, birthday gift a couple of years ago, a bunch of my friends pitched in and got me all 14 shirts for the Big Ten, and I do have a white Penn State shirt that I can throw on just for that occasion.
So we'll allow you in the stadium then, as long as you're in white, Dustin. All right, let's get to it. One of the reasons I love having you on is we get a broader perspective on college football. It's not all just Penn State, but also the Big Ten and even nationally. And I want to start with probably the biggest story this summer in college football, and there's been many of them, but Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12. It's obvious the motivation. It's money. It's money for those teams. It's money for the Southeast Conference. But I'm curious, what was your first reaction when you heard that they were moving?
Well, I guess you could call me a college football traditionalist in the sense that I love the regionality of the sport. I love the rivalries. I was adamantly opposed to even Nebraska and Maryland and Rutgers coming into the Big Ten, and it had nothing to do with those programs, but it kind of took away some of the traditions we had in the sport. And so I think that this just adds another layer to it, because it seems like we're on the verge of potentially having these super conferences, 16, 18, maybe 20 teams. Maybe we eventually just divide up into four and we have the North, South, East, and West or something along those lines. It's, so I was not a big fan of it. It's going to tear away some of those rivalry games. Obviously, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Texas Tech. Texas will add Texas A&M with the SEC. But I wasn't a huge fan of it. But at the same time, the way college football continues to trend and with so many changes in the offseason, the transfer portal, the NIL, name, image, and likeness stuff, I guess it's inevitable. And when you see how much money the SEC brings in and the potential it can bring in with an addition like Oklahoma and Texas, it's hard to blame either side for it.
You see that with the Southeast Conference adding two national brands like that. But it then begs the question, and this was how the conversation switched very quickly from Texas-Oklahoma going to the Southeast Conference to what are all the other conferences going to do? My first question, Dustin, is do they have to do anything?
Yeah, they don't have to. I think a lot of people got caught up immediately and they wanted to have this. There was a knee-jerk reaction, right? Who's the Big Ten going to add? There was talks about adding Iowa State and Kansas. There were talks about, maybe poaching from the ACC, trying to get Notre Dame to come into the Big Ten. The bottom line is Notre Dame has ties to the ACC. The ACC and their grant of rights through television deals, through the conference, those schools are tied to the ACC through 2035, 2036, something along those lines. So the odds that you're going to steal another ACC or a couple ACC programs are slim to none. So what does that leave you with? Basically, it leaves you with the West Coast, and there aren't a ton of great options out there. You're talking about USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon, and those are probably your big name, your big brand schools that you want to bring into the conference because they have that brand, they have that national recognition. But you can't devalue the product. So that's why I don't think the Big Ten should add Kansas or Iowa State. It has to be one of those four schools I just mentioned, an Oregon, a Washington, a USC, a UCLA, to improve your television base or to increase your television base, to get some recruiting routes out west. That's what you could do. And then to potentially get use of, I've talked about this, if you're able to add a play, a school like USC, UCLA, get the Rose Bowl involved. Use that as your Big Ten championship game site once every couple of years. Use that in week zero, something along those lines. But if you're not able to get one of those four schools or two of those four schools, in my opinion, there's no need to expand. There are other ways that you can – you're not going to match a Texas and an Oklahoma. You're just not. But what you can do is you can potentially offset some of that by increasing the number of conference games you play. They already play 9. Why not add another one? Play 10 conference games. That's a way to offset some of this stuff. Dominate week zero. We see that Nebraska and Northwestern are going to play in Ireland next season. This year, Nebraska, Illinois kick off the college football season in week zero. There are other ways to dominate college football, and there are other ways to make those network contracts a little bit more lucrative than just adding two teams, because adding Kansas, adding Iowa State, and some of these other names that have been mentioned, that's just not going to get the job done. That's not going to be interested to television partners. It's not going to be attractive to advertisers, and that's what this is about. This is about getting the most money. So if you can't get USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, I say you stay at 14 for as long as you possibly can.
I'm with you, and I find it fascinating. I'm reading these articles that are based from like Iowa State or Kansas, and they're talking about how wonderful they would be to be added to a conference. All they do is make the pie split up more ways, and they're not bringing in any more eyeballs. So there's no value that way. And here's what I'm going to do, Dustin, and I had told you previously when we talked off the air, I was going to do this. I'm making you commissioner of the Big Ten, which, by the way, I think would be a great move on their part. What would you do? Give me that plan that you had for if you were the commissioner of the Big Ten.
Well, first of all, I would not have allowed Texas and Oklahoma to go to the SEC without a phone call, without trying to convince them to come to the Big Ten. Because first of all, the Big Ten has the best television deal with Fox, ESPN, and it's the most lucrative. By a long shot, it was beating the SEC. It regularly beats the SEC, ACC in terms of viewership, in terms of attendance. It's got the biggest stadiums in college football. Texas and Oklahoma, as much as I hate the splitting up the regionality and taking away those teams from the Big 12, I think that those would have been really good additions to the Big 10, because at the very least, you get that Nebraska rivalry back. You get some of those Iowa games back with Texas and Oklahoma. So that would have been my first move. My second move is I'm on the phone with USC, as I mentioned, or I'm on the phone with Oregon, Washington, UCLA. And like I said, I want to reach into California. I want to have the ability to use the Rose Bowl and use it as the Big Ten championship game site. The traditionalists, the Rose Bowl doesn't mean as much as it did. It's not no longer the site of the granddaddy of them all. I mean, it's just another bowl game. That's my personal opinion. People don't put as much emphasis on it if it's not a college football playoff semifinal game or the national championship game. So that would be my second call. My third decision, if I got no's from those four programs that I just mentioned, again, I'm going back to the drawing board and I'm saying, okay, we're going to up to 10 conference games. We're going to reimagine. We're not going to allow our teams to schedule any more FCS opponents. We're going to have at least every team play one Power 5 non-conference opponent. We're going to try to have some sort of Big 10 ACC challenge or Big 10 Pac-12 challenge, something along those lines to generate interest. And then I'm going to have multiple games in week zero. I'm going to dominate week zero and not let anybody else have it. You have to find a way to make these television contracts more lucrative if you're going to stick with 14 teams. And I think that those are all really good ways. If you get up, because this is all about the level of interest that you're providing and the number of really good premier games. And we're starting to see the level of the Big Ten. Like, even the bottom of the Big Ten is getting better. Illinois is going to be better with Brett Bielema being the head coach there. Rutgers looked a lot better under Greg Schiano. Maryland is getting 4- and 5-star recruits that they weren't getting in the previous regime. So the opportunity is there to have some really good conference games. And if you up it to 10, you get to week zero and you dominate that, and then you're able to use, you know, work out a deal with UCLA or whoever you need to use the Rose Bowl as a potential site for your Big Ten championship game. That's what I would do if I was in the commissioner's spot right now.
I like that idea of the like the Big Ten ACC in basketball, do the same thing in football. I'd love it with the Pac-12. Could you imagine a USC Ohio State game, an Oregon Penn State game, or Oregon Wisconsin? Fantastic stuff. I can tell you right now, at Penn State, everyone's excited about bringing Auburn in to town. Could you imagine USC coming to town? It would be crazy, and I mean crazy good. I want to hit on one more thing, Dustin, on the big picture, and another big story of this summer, which is name, image, and likeness. There are those who think that's the end of college football world as we know it. I'll ask you, how much effect do you think it's actually going to have on the game?
Yeah, I'm not too proud to say that I really don't know. And the reason I say that is because it's still so early. We saw a lot of companies, right, kind of dive into this head first. You look at Miami, and they signed a deal with a, I believe it was like a MMA training facility or something along those lines for $500,000 or $600,000 is what the deal turned out to be. That's a really bad business model. And so I think that a lot of companies just kind of wanted to be the first into this. Obviously, you're going to have guys like the Justin Fields, the Trevor Lawrence, those type of players, the Saquon Barkleys and the Trace McSorleys. Those guys are going to have opportunities to make a lot of money. I don't think there's any disputing that. But what I like about name, image, likeness, and what often gets overlooked about this whole thing is you have people who have an opportunity to, if you are a good artist, you can now, you know, you can paint in your spare time and you can sell that on a website, or you can sell it to a local college store. If you are, you can take advantage of an internship opportunity. If you do car mock-ups, you can sell those to other companies with your name on it. So you can get real life experience here. And that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. So I don't think it's going to create college football. There's you can talk about the parity that we don't have, that we lack. Ohio State is up here at the very top and everybody else is, you know, two layers below. I don't think it's going to change that much in terms of where schools stand or the parity aspect of it. I think this is just going to create more opportunities for student athletes who didn't have those opportunities to take those internships, to start their business, and to work with these other companies. That's where I think that this is headed. And I think for the most part, 80 to 90% of these student athletes, it's going to be a huge benefit.
And, you know, my take on it, when I'm told there's going to be more less parity in the game, how could that possibly be? It's already the case. Dustin, as always, it goes way too fast. That has to be it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.